Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and you are listening to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another wonderful opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about a topic that is really important for all of us. I wanted to just say I am back after a month of traveling in Peru. I just had the most amazing time because I had no idea Peru had such power, such spirituality, and such majestic environments. I was so fortunate. I traveled up into the Andes and spent time in Cusco, spent time in Machu Picchu, got to experience the amazing world up in the Andes, which I have to say are just magnificent beyond words. They're just so powerful. The mountains of the Andes were considered gods by the Incas, and you can see why they have such an amazing presence. And then we went down to the Amazon. So we went from high up in the Andes down into the Amazon, and we traveled about 5 hours, first by a van and then by dugout canoes, little engine on the back that took us down the Amazon, tributaries to the main Amazon, where we spent a week at a place called the Amazon, the Ayahuasca Adventure Center. So this is built next to a village, and it is surrounded by national park lands. So it is just stunning. Part of the journey was to experience just the beauty and the history of Peru, and part of this journey was to experience the power of the plant medicines with shaman who were leading ceremonies. I have to say it was a life-changing experience for all of us. There were eight people, nine altogether, who journeyed with me into Peru, and every single person had an experience that changed their life, profound transformation. So I'm still integrating it all, and I was just so moved by the experience in Peru. The lay of the land, the experiences there, also the time with these amazing shaman who guided us in these very special ceremonies. And I am now planning to go back to Peru in about a year's time, take another group of people, a small group. I can only take a maximum of 10 people, to experience the trip of a lifetime, the life-changing, transformational trip of a lifetime. So I'll be sharing more information with all of you, but I just wanted to say that I am back. It's been an amazing time, and I have lots more to share with you as the year unfolds. So stay tuned, because lots of really interesting information and guests that will be further enlightening you on what's going on down there in Peru. Anyway, talking about amazing experiences, I will be talking today with Dr. Donald Beans. It's great to have him back because he's been a guest on my show before, and I particularly invited him back because he has some really important information to be sharing with all of you regarding solutions, natural solutions, to support your health after getting a vaccination. This is a really hot topic. I say it's a topic that really is of great concern for everyone because, as most of you may know, vaccinations are being mandated, which means there are places like in Australia, for instance, if you do not vaccinate your kindergarten-age children, then you will be denied the allowance that they give to each family, four children, a very generous allowance, so they're blackmailing people. Healthcare workers must be vaccinated as well. In September, the law in California will go into effect that all children children, I think, as young as the kindergartners, must be vaccinated. Again, it's mandated. There are other states that are mandating vaccinations. We have many states that are mandating Gardasil, the vaccination for human papillomavirus, which is a disastrous vaccine causing harm, if not death, to thousands of young women and probably soon young men, since it is now being recommended for young boys about 10 and 11 years old. Healthcare workers around the country, probably around the world, are also getting mandated that they cannot work if they do not have vaccinations. I think also that goes for people who are working in daycare centers. So there is a real problem in terms of what do you do if you must get vaccinated in order to send your children to school or to have a job, but you don't believe in them, you don't want them, but you must have them. What do you do? So we're going to be talking about some of the solutions to help protect your body from the potentially adverse effects from vaccinations. And I also want to direct you to the homepage of Progressive Radio Network, so that's prn.fm. If you haven't looked at the homepage, Gary Null has put together some really powerful articles that talk about the dangers of vaccines, the lack of valid science. He also has an article about the human papilloma vaccine, why it's unnecessary and lethal. So if you go to the homepage, you'll be able to access a lot more information about this subject if you are not already familiar with it. And if you are not familiar with it, I really implore you to read up on the whole vaccination story. It's not what you think. It's not what we've been told. It's part of what I call the matrix, that system of lies and deception that are forcing dangerous vaccines into the bodies of our children and adults as well, with some dire consequences. So learn all about the issue. And I want to just take a moment to introduce Dr. Don Beans to you. He is a registered nurse with a degree from Montana State University in 1978, and he studied acupuncture at many schools with various teachers, leading to the Montana licensure in 1980 and starting a private practice in Missoula. He earned National Board Certification in acupuncture in 1995, from the National Commission for the Certification of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. He is also a certified classical homeopath. Don was a teaching associate of Dr. Bernard Jensen, who many of you have heard of, for 10 years. They presented one-week seminars on nutrition and wellness. Under the watchful eye of Dr. Jensen, Dr. Beans earned a Doctor of Philosophy degree in Iridology and Nutrition from the University of Health Sciences in Honolulu, Hawaii. And Dr. Beans is currently in private practice in Montana. He is a wealth of information. I just loved having him on the show before, and I certainly am thrilled that he's back and welcome him to the show today. So hello, Dr. Beans.
Hi, Dr. Selman. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, it's great having you back on the show, and I'm looking forward to our conversation because, as you know only too well, the vaccination debate, or the forced vaccinations actually is what it's turning out to be, is a really big problem for so many people. I just came back from California. I was in California in L.A. attending the Natural Products Expo, and I was just speaking at the Women Empowerment Conference, and people are really concerned there because starting September, this mandate, which they fought really hard to stop, is going into effect. So all these children cannot enroll in school unless they have vaccinations. So I think people are going to really be quite shocked if they aren't already aware of this mandate when September rolls around, and a lot of people are already so up in arms about this. And that's what we're going to talk about. What do you do when you're forced to get a vaccination, and how do you protect your children and yourself? So it's a really important topic we're going to be exploring today.
Well, it is important, and it's been actually a subject in medicine for many, many years. The first book that I know of that was totally written about what's called vaccinosis, or the side effects of being vaccinated, was written by a homeopath back in 1897. No, that's not a typo or whatever you call it on the radio. It was 1897.
Yeah. Wow, 1897, yeah.
A book solely about vaccinosis, a couple hundred pages, 175 pages. And it talks about the symptoms that occur as a side effect of vaccinations, and then the treatment, mostly by the homeopathic remedy Thuja. And so if you take one thing away from this show, that's the name Thuja, and it's T-H-U-J-A. It's the plant Arbor Vitae, or the tree of life. And used in a homeopathic remedy, this is the bomb for almost every type of vaccine injury.
Before we go into that, let's just talk about what was first written about vaccinosis. What is it that is so harmful from administering vaccines to people?
Well, there's a lot of levels to this. So the main level is that the bug goes in there, right, whatever you're vaccinating against, and your body has an odd response to that. So that response can be something very mild and general, like, you know, redness at the injection site, muscle pain, that kind of thing, maybe a little fatigue the next day. Okay, those are side effects that can be treated, but they're not a problem. But the problem arises when the body has a gigantic effect. For instance, I did a vaccine lecture here a few years ago, and one of my patients heard about it and said, "Do you want me to come and talk?" They were all young women with children who wanted to know about vaccines. This woman said, "Do you want me to come?" And she told the story of her infant son 20 years ago who went for his DPT shot. They brought him home. He spiked a fever, and he died. And
I
so
know.
She was willing to share that story with this group of women, which was great for them to hear that, you know, yeah, side effects like that are rare. But if it's your child, it doesn't matter if they're rare or not.
Well,
so that's one thing that can happen is the child can spike a fever and it overtakes the brain or the nervous system and it kills them.
And I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, it's not just this attenuated virus that's in there, but it's everything else that's put into those vaccinations. There's aluminum, there's placental tissue. In some cases, they're still putting mercury in there. I mean, there are other preservatives. I mean, there is a whole host and, you know, some toxic substances that are included in a vaccination. In fact, in all vaccinations, I believe.
Yes. One of the things that I find fascinating about the whole vaccine idea is they're starting to add adjuvants. And the purpose of an adjuvant is to increase the effectiveness of the vaccine, right? So one of the main adjuvants is squalene. And what it does is to boost the immune system. Well, that sounds like a good thing. Because it's going to make the vaccine work better, right? It's going to make your immune system react to the whatever bug it is, creating an immunity, supposedly. But what the squalene does by activating the immune system, if you have any autoimmune disease going on, arthritis, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, MS, I mean, anything like that, especially if it's on the edge, not yet opened up, not yet created in your body, you fire up the immune system, that whole autoimmune reaction takes off. And that's thought to be one of the reasons that vaccines potentially create these other diseases later in life, is that the squalene activates the immune system, and the immune system attacks the body.
So I think it's also really important to guide people. If you know, what are your thoughts if your child is sick? Should he go and have a vaccine? If there are some health conditions going on or allergies, or if they, you know, show some signs of sensitivities, what are your thoughts about those kinds of symptoms that children or adults may be showing up with? Should they, if they're scheduled for a vaccination, should they reschedule? Or, you know, what are your thoughts or how they can support their body beforehand?
Well, I have to say I've been in practice a long time, almost 40 years, and the unvaccinated children in my practice are by far the most healthy. They don't get the ear infections and all the colds and all the flus and all that stuff. So I know it's knocking down the immune system. So for vaccinated, I don't necessarily recommend vaccinating at all. But obviously that's not an option in a lot of places. So there's a few things you can do in preparation for a vaccination or in preparation for an infectious season, the flu season or something like that, right? The best way to build up your immune system, first of all, is probiotics to make sure that the gut flora is correct, particularly if there's been an antibiotic use any time within the last year or so. Fish liver oil. There's nothing like it. I mean, you can use flax oil, too, to get the essential fatty acids. But to get vitamins A and D and essential fatty acids in a natural form, like in fish liver oil. And the other thing is grandma's home remedy, right? Tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, teaspoon of honey, and a glass of water. The old D.C. Jarvis book from the 1950s, Vermont Folk Medicine. That works great. Brings calcium into the bloodstream, acidifies the blood a little bit, brings calcium into the bloodstream so that healing can happen anywhere. And those three suggestions are just the absolutely best thing you can do when there's any kind of infective thing going around.
You know, I talked to a father whose daughter had the Gardasil vaccine, the human papillomavirus, which is getting mandated as well. And there's just so many lies about that, which is why I direct everyone to the articles on the homepage of PRN.FM. But what happened is it was a series of, I believe, three vaccinations. And his daughter, who was this healthy, vital 16-year-old, had she was unwell, she was dealing with a cold, her immune system was down, and after the second or third course of that vaccine, she just became so violently ill. She had chronic inflammation in her brain. She almost died and has been seriously brain injured and immune compromised ever since. And this is what's happening to these girls. She never should have, well, I agree, like you do, Don. I just don't see any real value in vaccination, certainly not all at once and not to vulnerable infants. But if you have any indications that you are not well, this is the worst time to put into your body substances that are going to be inflammatory in nature, foreign substances, heavy metals, and just further create serious chronic inflammatory response that can be quite devastating to your health.
And you're forcibly diverting the immune system to do something else than fight whatever it is that's making you unwell at the moment. I mean, a vaccination forces your immune system to pay attention to this and not have enough energy to pay attention to whatever's making you ill, which can make that blossom, too.
So this is such a big story, and, I just don't know what the parents are going to do for places like Australia and places like California. There are other states that have mandated vaccines for children. I mean, they're taking away all exemptions. You don't have any option. You must, or else your child can't go to school. Right. And that goes for the healthcare workers and daycare workers as well. So
yeah, that certainly started here in Montana. I have several friends who've lost jobs at the hospital because they just simply refused to be vaccinated, and the hospital said, well, see you later.
Yeah, yeah, it's really serious. So even if you don't believe in it and don't want it, it's really difficult to, kind of avoid it or choose not to or opt out. So
right.
That's why I really wanted to have you here talking about what do you do when when you want to protect yourself after having a vaccination, especially if it's forced upon you, to support your body. And this is true for children, it's true for adults. So let's go back to what you started out in our conversation talking about, Thuja, Thuja, and which is a homeopathic remedy. So let's talk more about it and what it does, how it's protective, how to take it, and let's start there.
So the Thuja is the remedy that works in 9 out of 10 cases, literally. It's about 90% effective for vaccine injury, or 90% of cases present as Thuja. So you're pretty safe trying a dose of Thuja unless you have exactly the symptoms that we'll talk about for two other remedies. And so what a homeopathic remedy does is it directs the vital energy of the body against whatever the attack or insult is. And so many of the symptoms of Thuja that are the symptoms that you would prescribe Thuja for are exactly the ill effects of vaccination. And it's actually listed as one of the few remedies for the ill effects of vaccination. It's something that's available in the health food store. You can usually only get in the health food store a 30C, which is a strength parameter, which is fine if you take it maybe twice or three times a day if you're really having symptoms. If you have a vaccination and you take Thuja, you're not having symptoms, you can take it once a day for a week and should be out of the woods totally. If you're having symptoms and they're continuing, then you need to take more of the remedy. If you can get a 200C, that's even better, but not really necessary. There's two other remedies that may be possible. One is silica, and the other is sulfur, also available in the health food store. The differentiation of those ones is silica. If it's that, you're going to see the person acting sort of wimpier than usual, and they're shy and retiring. They're going to want to be left alone. They're going to not want to have anybody around them, like that kind of thing. The sulfur is going to center on the skin. They're getting fevers. Their skin is reacting by red. They're sweating at night. So that might draw you to sulfur. But mostly, it's Thuja. And you can even, if you want to be precautious, you can even take Thuja before a vaccine. Let's say an infant has a vaccine scheduled appointment. You can certainly give the Thuja the day before. And, you can totally avoid the side effects then.
So it's good to take prophylactically. It's going to help the body deal with that vaccination. And do they need to take it afterwards as well?
I would, if it were me, I would give it the day before, and then the day of, the day after, and the day after that. By that time, if you haven't really developed symptoms, you're probably not going to get any acute symptoms at all, because they usually happen fairly quickly.
Okay. So Thuja is the one that you definitely want to take before, and then take it for several days after, and in
right.
that. And the dose that you prefer is at 200?
I prefer a 200. Those are a little bit hard to get sometimes. But 30C you can just buy in the health food store, and that's perfectly adequate.
Oh, okay. And if anyone wants the two, so what's the benefit of the 200 over the 30? Because 30 is a lower potency.
Yeah, it's just a stronger remedy.
Okay, so if somebody wants the 200, if they feel, what would be an indication that they should go for the stronger one?
The child's particularly weak, you know, particularly susceptible, has had a fever episode after a vaccination in the past, then you're going to want to be a little stronger on that.
Okay. And if anybody has a problem and wants a stronger dose, they can always contact me and I can help them arrange it. But so the three is something you always want to take before and then after, just to protect your body, ensure that you are not going to suffer any adverse reactions, right?
Right.
And then, and let's go back to the, let's see, to the sulfur. Let's go back
sulfur?
To the other two you mentioned. Yeah.
With sulfur, you're going to see the skin symptoms are going to be the most prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And the sweating at night. And silica, the symptoms that are going to be most prominent are going to be those mental, emotional symptoms of, you know, wanting to be left alone, kind of wimpy, maybe a little teary. That kind of, that's the main thing that you notice, not, you know, they have a generalized fever. They're sort of flu-like, you know, that kind of generalized stuff is thuya.
So really what we want people to do is, you know, because you want to be proactive, you should have these remedies. They're really inexpensive. They're available. Most health food stores are online. You want to have them in your medicine cabinet because if your child is going to get a vaccination of some sort, or if you as an adult have to get a vaccination, you want these handy and ready to go if there is a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Should be in the medicine chest of anybody who's even thinking about vaccination.
Yeah. So, well, listen, this is a good time. Let's take a quick break, and then we come back and we'll talk some more about how to protect yourself against vaccinations. My guest today is Dr. Donald Beans, a great source of wisdom and knowledge, and we have lots more to be sharing with you, so stay tuned.
It's not liberal, it's not conservative, it's progressive, the truth that empowers, right here on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
The Progressive Radio News Hour is an antidote to government and corporate propaganda. Distinguished guests are featured, some are world figures, all are independent thinkers. Truth and full disclosure are featured. Vital domestic and world issues mattering most are discussed. Today is the most perilous time in world history. Ukraine's crisis escalated things dangerously. It's the gravest one since World War II. A potential clash of civilizations looms. More than ever, vital information is needed. It's our most precious commodity. How we use it matters most. Peace and security depend on it. The Progressive Radio News Hour, 3 times weekly, live on Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, plus 2 pre-recorded archive programs. Make it a regular habit and stay informed.
Hi, I'm Bhavani, and I'd like to invite you to tune into my show, IE Green, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. to hear the latest news about our health, the environment, and the good food movement. I'll also share with you one of my favorite recipes. So tune in on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Listening to PRN, number one for progressive minds.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back to What Women Must Know. We're talking about solutions to support your health after getting a vaccination with Dr. Donald Beans. As we were saying earlier in the show, vaccinations are being mandated around the country and around the world. You no longer have a choice. You no longer have the ability to opt out. You don't have a medical way to opt out. You don't have a conscientious way to opt out. The screws are tightening on vaccinations. So this is a really serious problem because we know vaccinations are a major risk. They're a major risk to your health. They're a major risk to increasing the incidence of autism. They can initiate other autoimmune reactions, inflammatory conditions, and the list goes on and on. So they are not without risks. And if it's being mandated for children and adults, we need to know what to do in order to protect ourselves and our children when we have no other choice at this point in time but to get vaccinated. So this is such an important conversation. And, you know, Donna, I'm going to be going out and getting the Thuja and the Silica and the Sulfur, even though I don't get vaccines at all. When I went to Peru, there was some talk about you should get malaria, even though there is no malaria in Peru. It's like, no way, I'm not doing that. I use a nano silver product. This nano silver that I have can actually kill any bacteria, any virus, any fungus. It can kill MRSA in 3 minutes. It's known to kill malaria, bacteria. So why would I want to get a vaccine even if there was a problem of malaria, which there isn't, at least right in the part of Peru I was in. You know, we have these other solutions and options. And, when it comes to being forced to do something, which I just think is criminal personally, and until the law is overturned, this is what stands. We need to know what to do, how to protect ourselves, how to protect our immune system, and deal with all the components that are found in vaccinations, as you were saying, all the adjuvants that are now being added that are one of the major reasons why we have such immense reactions. Do you have any comments or any thoughts about the shingles vaccine or even the flu vaccine? Because I know that, the seniors are the target for these vaccines. So anyone who is in hospital will be offered these vaccines, or just the senior communities. They're all being encouraged by their doctors to get the shingles vaccine, of course, get their flu vaccine. What you were recommending with Thuja is also important for this population if they choose to, which we can talk a little bit more about that if you'd like.
I would like to. You know, the great thing about being interviewed by you is you've thought of everything ahead of time. Right? We didn't have a conversation about this radio show, but you've thought of everything ahead of time that I thought of. So that's great.
Good. We're on the same wavelength here,
I guess. So I'll talk about a couple things at once here. One is the idea of the belief system of vaccination. So the belief system is, okay, I'm a senior. My immune system is going down, and so I need the shingles shot to help me not get shingles. And if I have the shot, then I'm protected. Well, if you look at the CDC, right, Centers for Disease Control website, on the effectiveness of the shingles vaccine, now it says it's 51% effective. So you get a coin toss. And that's not, alternative medicine view or anything else. That's CDC. However, last year what it said is if you get the shingles shot when you're 50, it's 60% effective. If you get it when you're 60, it's 40% effective. If you get it when you're 70, it's 30% effective.
Wow.
So the main target population is the worst at getting benefit from the shingles shot. But the mythology is, if you're vaccinated, you're protected. Well, maybe you're half protected. The flu shot, the same thing. The CDC admitted last year's flu shot was 21% effective. seriously? You want me to take something that could possibly impact my health for the rest of my life, and it's 21% effective? But they use the idea of 100% effective to talk about the idea of herd immunity, right? If most people in a population are vaccinated, mythology protected, then diseases won't move in an epidemic way through a population. But if you vaccinate everyone and it's only 21% effective, what have you done? You know, herd immunity is up in about 92% vaccinated, but effectively vaccinated when they're talking. But they're talking about it's like 100% protection. So it's just, it's this crazy mythology that's perpetrated through the regular medical profession, but also if you just watch a TV ad about some of these things, it's like, oh, I'm protected. Great.
Wow, that's so interesting. Only 30% effectiveness if you're in your 70s, which is when people are so vulnerable to getting shingles because their immune systems are compromised.
Right, and so how is your immune system going to react to the shot? Is it going to actually create an immune response or not? That's one question. And if your immune system is so bad, why? I mean, the compromise that you give yourself by giving yourself a vaccination is doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why not build up the immune system?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so, with the same old things. I mean, how hard is it to get probiotics, fish oil, and apple cider vinegar in your diet? It's just not.
So, I mean, that's what's so important. If, for seniors, if because the older you get, the more your immune system gets compromised, gets less efficient. So every person, but particularly people over the age of 50, when our immune systems tend to be more compromised if we're not taking action, everyone should be taking probiotics. I mean, there is so much information about the microbiome and the role of your gut flora and how important they are in strengthening your immune system and every other function of your body. Everyone should be taking a probiotic. And, I spend time with my mother and her community, her senior community, and I just wish they all took probiotics and they all took some vitamin D and got their vitamin D levels up. They would be so protected from all these opportunistic types of, reactions and problems and health issues because they're all related to a compromised immune system.
Right.
Yeah. So, when you understand that the shingles vaccine isn't really effective, but could carry its own side effects, because again, all those adjuvants that go with it, all those chemicals and particular, aluminum and other, God knows what else is in the shingles vaccine, you could be feeling worse. Are they giving shingles vaccines to younger people? Do you know?
I don't think so. You know, the risk definitely increases over 50. And so I don't think that they're really advocating administration under 40 or 50 years old.
Okay, so I know what I was thinking of. So there is a chickenpox vaccine, right, children are getting?
Yep.
So this is the insanity of this argument. So, I got the chickenpox when I was a kid, and, you know, there was a period of time when I was out of school and I had some, spots on my face, and you deal with that, but it gives you a lifelong immunity. But if you're not allowed to get the chickenpox because of the vaccination, then when you're older, I mean, what's the shingles? Shingles is a chickenpox virus, but it comes out more virulently. So you get a worse case of shingles if you've never had a lifetime exposure, a lifetime immunity from getting the chickenpox.
Right.
Right? So isn't this insane? So we're not allowing our children to get this natural lifelong immunity from exposure when it's less virulent, less painful, and then later in life, because you don't have that natural protection that my generation had, and you're probably, your same generation, we had when we were kids, and if you're not allowed to get that, which never killed anybody, by the way, chickenpox is not dangerous, it's just part of those childhood diseases that protect you when you're older.
Right. It's craziness, I think. Can I take a little detour?
Absolutely. Let me just say, for anyone getting these, the flu shots, the shingles, also Thuja is what they really want to have in their medicine cabinet, correct?
Definitely, definitely. Because
so it's across the board for everyone.
Say that again?
Oh, it's across the board. Everyone, anytime you're getting a vaccination of any sort, you want Thuja, because if you're having any reaction, you want it will protect you from reactions, and it will support you after you have the vaccine to ensure that you don't get other types of reactions.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead. You can take your detour now, Tom.
Okay. I just wanted to say something about colloidal silver that you mentioned earlier. It's an amazing history. I have a Materia Medica, right, or a book of the materials of medicine from 1916 that was published by the American Medical Association. And it is full of colloidal silver products, injections, lotions, creams, all kind of stuff. They used it a lot because they didn't have antibiotics. As soon as antibiotics showed up, then they dropped silver and just started using those because it seemed more efficacious. But I don't think, and I don't know that they knew this back then, but I don't think that there were colloidal silver resistant strains of bacteria, even though it had been used for many years.
You know, that's such an interesting point, because I have written a lot about a nanosilver product, which is a more advanced form of colloidal. It keeps the silver in suspension, and it just has more of a continuous reaction against the bacteria. But what's really interesting about silver, in whatever form it's in, is that it only goes after the dangerous bacteria in the gut. It does not, or anywhere in your body for that matter, because you can use it topically, but does not harm or interfere with the healthy gut microbiota.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just killing everything like an antibiotic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I traveled to Peru with my silver. I took silver liquid. I took silver gel for any topical scrapes, burns, bites. And and I have to say, it worked brilliantly. When people had any sort of, you know, itch or bite or scratch, we just put that silver gel on them, and immediately the itching went away, the inflammation went down, and it healed rapidly.
Kind of crazy, it's not used all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's so important to have, again, in your medicine cabinet. Non-toxic, no side effects, doesn't hurt, doesn't burn, doesn't interfere with anything. And as I said earlier, the studies are showing that this nanosilver version can kill MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant bacteria, in 3 minutes.
Yeah. So, just for fun, do you know how we got in this mess, this vaccine mess?
Well, tell us.
So, in 1000 A.D. is the first recorded vaccination in, of course, China, right, where they were taking a little bit of a smallpox pustule and putting it under the skin of a kid, allowing them to get the disease a little bit, and then they started to powder that and blow it up their nose. And so this is, you know, 1000 A.D. That's a long time ago.
Well, that was it effective?
Yes. Because you were giving them, the disease, but in an attenuated form. So I don't know how many kids they killed by doing that, but and I'm not sure any. Because you were just barely giving them the disease. Well, then, you know, that went up through the Ottoman Empire, right, in Turkey. And so in the 1700s, that came up to England and came to the view of Dr. Edward Jenner. And so he published his first ideas about vaccinations in 1798. And vaccination is actually the root word in Latin is cow, because the original vaccination was to take cowpox from milkmaids and give it to people to prevent smallpox. And basically that's what they did. They took the pustules from milkmaids and made a little powder out of it and suck it under your skin to give you a disease. But, and so maybe that's effective. Maybe that's a great idea. But as we've moved on now, we don't do that anymore. We're growing these bugs on egg protein, right? And then we're putting adjuvants in and putting preservatives in and then injecting that so that we're totally bypassing all the body's defense mechanisms and putting this disease with immune activating compounds full force right in this person. I mean, it's crazy. The initial idea of vaccine maybe was smart, but it's been so perverted from its origins that it's not really the same as it was. But it's pretty interesting to me how long ago that was actually happening.
Well, so do you think Jenner got these ideas from what happened, you know, what the Chinese did? Did it come through? Did he have some access to that knowledge?
I can't remember these names right now, but there were two people who brought specific reports from Turkey that Jenner was exposed to. And so that's exactly where he got the idea, was from these two reports. And if you look up Jenner on Wikipedia or something like that, you can have those names and those dates. But then he got the idea from those reports, and then he inoculated the young son of his gardener with cowpox, and then 6 weeks later exposed him to smallpox, and he didn't get it. I mean, if I was his gardener, I wouldn't let him experiment on my kid, but whatever.
Well, yes, yeah. And so, you know, from that time, we've come a long way thinking that the only way to be protected from, you know, measles or mumps or diphtheria or the flu or chicken pox or shingles must be through vaccinations. And that's where, unfortunately, the lie is to be found, because the fact of the matter is there are many ways to keep your immune system strong that you do not become vulnerable. And if you do happen to get measles or chicken pox, it is, there's a benefit to it. We don't we're so scared of these things. We've been taught to be scared, but there are so many ways to either benefit from some of these childhood diseases that are not life-threatening and really adversely affect a very small percentage of the population. Probably those people are immune compromised. And that we have these ways to keep ourselves strong and healthy. And I think that gets so overlooked in this conversation. It's like we have no other choice to be protected from these terrible diseases. We're told they're terrible. But in fact, we have so many options with Chinese herbal medicine, from homeopathy, from Western herbal medicine, from vitamins, through diet, through, you know, natural apple cider vinegar, these folk remedies that have proven to be true. And I think that's such an important message that people need to understand, is that, you know, make healthy choices and you will have a strong, vital, vibrant immune system throughout your entire life.
Right. I agree. And then if you have these other things that you're doing to support your immune system, even if you get vaccinated, your immune system will still be able to overcome the insult that is the vaccine. So it's very helpful to have that strong immune system to not get the disease in the first place. Because remember, if you're only 50% protected by a vaccine, even if they force a vaccine on you, or like 2 years ago with the flu, last year with the flu, only 21% effective, so all those hospital workers last year who didn't have to wear a mask because they'd been vaccinated, you know, 79% of them were flu transmitters.
Yeah.
So, because the vaccine was only 21% effective.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a big mess.
So let's just go through your favorite immune-enhancing protocols. What do you recommend to your patients to keep their immune system strong, fighting fit, you know, and basically the ability to strengthen and be resilient in face of, you know, flu seasons or other illnesses.
Yeah. Well, my basic thing, like what I tell people during the flu season, is to make sure they're getting probiotics, or there's another product called lactic acid yeast, standard process product, that is a little quicker than a probiotic. But if you're taking probiotics all the time, you're covered. And then fish liver oil. The main thing that does for you, besides gives you A and D, so you don't have to take synthetic anything, and it gives you the essential fatty acids. And what those do is to move calcium from the bloodstream into the tissues. And calcium is where all healing takes place. I don't know, Dr. Selman, if you've seen that film that was done in Michigan, where they put a camera inside college students' arteries and filmed the attack of white blood cells on bacteria. And what they saw that they've never seen before is this calcium cloud that the white blood cell puts out and then envelops the bacteria to dispose of it. But the way they did this was to use a micro camera that shot 60,000 frames a second.
Wow.
And that film's actually up on the internet somewhere. So the other thing is that apple cider vinegar with honey and water. Tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, teaspoon of honey in a glass of water every day. You know, grandma's home remedy. Great for colds and flus and all of that. It acidifies the blood just a tiny bit because the bacteria then can't live there, or the viruses can't live there. It's just a slight change, and it's because of the combination of malic acid and acetic acid in the apple cider vinegar that makes that really work better than other ways of doing that. And so those are my main things. And then, you know, clean living, a clean diet, mostly fruits and vegetables. Your diet's mostly plants. Anything your grandma couldn't read on the label, it isn't food, never mind. And that's sort of my solution to everything. That seems to work pretty well.
And I would just add, I think that's great, Don, and I agree with all of that. I always like to add vitamin D, and I encourage people to actually get a blood test to see what their vitamin D number is, because it's most protective when it's in the high end of the reference range. So
right.
I tell people, don't accept their doctor saying, oh, you're okay, when they get the results. You know, you want to see a number, and you want to be, you know, really above 60, ideally 70 or above. So you need a number, because vitamin D is protection to your immune system. It's anti-inflammatory. It turns on a whole host of beneficial genes and protects just about every chronic illness going on out there. In fact, when I get a little something, I immediately reach for my vitamin D and sometimes take up to 50,000 units a day or two, and it generally knocks things out. And the other thing which we talked about before is, for me, is the NanoSilver product.
Yeah.
So I take the NanoSilver, which is called Silverbiotics, and I use that on a daily basis. And if I'm sick, instead of a teaspoon twice a day, I take a tablespoon twice a day. And that has an amazing effect on supporting the immune system. So if you just have a little protocol in place, it's powerful in its benefits and really does protect your immune system. And these are simple, inexpensive ways to go to have a healthy life.
And I would say, you know, usually you can get enough vitamin D in the fish liver oil, but you might not. And so vitamin D3, cholecalciferol specifically, is one of the synthetic vitamins that I do recommend. Have you studied how they make that?
So interesting. No, I haven't studied how they make it.
So how we make vitamin D, right? The sun shines on your skin, and the ultraviolet rays in the sun change the cholesterol in your skin to vitamin D, and that's how we make it. So I don't know who the scientist was that figured this out, but what they do is they take lanolin from sheep's wool, and expose that to ultraviolet light. And it changes that lanolin, which is essentially cholesterol, into cholecalciferol, vitamin D3. So that's pretty slick. That was some pretty good scientific thinking, I think, to come up with that idea, to just mimic the body's process.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I really want people to understand, if you're not already bringing some of these modalities into your daily life, please do so, because in the long run, it will keep your immune system functioning in a healthy, balanced way, and support your health and the health of your children, so you are not susceptible to all the things that may be going around. And, really, in the long run, it's going to keep you vital and help you rejuvenate. So all of us at any age really will benefit from this simple little program. And then make sure you get your Thuja, which is necessary if you have any reason to get a vaccine. Anyone in your family, any friends, any relatives, any coworkers are getting vaccines, make sure they have the Thuja in their medicine cabinet so they take it before and after, just to ensure that the vaccine won't cause any harm. So anything else? We have about a minute left, Don. Anything else you want to say before we have to wrap this conversation up?
Well, if people would like to read about some of this information, I published a book a few years ago when the H1N1 flu was floating around, and it's essentially about all the things we've just talked about. And there's a couple ways to get it. If you want an electronic copy, you can go to Smashwords, which is the biggest ebook publisher, and it's in every format there. What to do about the flu.
And I encourage people to go to visit you at your website, drbeans.com, correct? That's the best website?
Yes.
Okay, drbeans.com. And, Don, thank you so much. As always, you're so enlightening. I appreciate your time. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. Remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.